He wants to see the churches in this region get along. The way the churches here split, break off, make new ones, not talk to each other, is not good for us. Our families are getting divided over this. And this is a heavy, heavy burden in his heart. It's probably the heaviest thing that he has to bear right now. So his call for anointing tonight was not that he be healed, because he doesn't want that. He's ready for this. He's excited. He's full of joy that he's able to get to this point. The anointing tonight is for you. His vision for this night was even bigger than for just our church. He really wanted the entire Mennonite community here to get together, to really seek God, to seek forgiveness, to seek reconciliation among ourselves. That is what he wants for you. If you can reach that point, you will be filled with joy as well, just like he is right now, where he's not scared of death, where he's ready to see God. You can get to that point. We can cover up as much as we want how we feel, but it's still there. That root of bitterness, that seed of envy, all those things that we need to get rid of. His prayer for you is that you can do that. Dad has been feeling for about a year that there was something wrong inside. There was a heaviness in there that he wasn't sure what it was. And he has had chosen just not to do anything about it. He didn't think it was bad enough. He wasn't sure that there was really anything there. He had had hepatitis A while he was in Central America, and he has suffered from that ever since. He felt like this was just part of that heaviness that he was still carrying. It was part of his... It was that sliver in his eye from having served God in a foreign land. It was a reminder to him that he had given his life to God. He was not his own. Sometimes we need pain like that to really show us what our priorities are. And that's what this was to him. About 3 weeks ago, before he went to Africa, he felt this premonition that he needed to get his house in order. My mother's father died of the same type of cancer. He knew it for about 3 months. It's a very, very aggressive form. He didn't have his house in order, and that was very difficult for his children. So when my dad started feeling this, he put his house in order, and he went to Africa, not expecting to really come back. His pain was starting to grow as he went over there. And when he returned, he let us know that there was something wrong. What we hadn't known was that in the weeks following up to his trip to Africa, he had been growing weaker and weaker and had been taking naps on the floor in his office. And when he returned, was really the first time we started to find out about this struggle that he was having in his life. He made a trip to the doctor to find out what it was. Some of the symptoms he was having, he was having just this ache all the way across, right under his rib cage. Just a constant ache, didn't go away. He just put his hand on his stomach and just ache. Another symptom is you're not able to lay on your right side. It just hurts. You can't do it. Another sign is an ache in his shoulder, his right shoulder. It just hurt. Felt like a Charlie horse there all the time. And he began to treat the symptoms as individual symptoms, not knowing what they were. But when he returned from Africa, he started putting it together. There's something else going on here. There's something wrong. These things are somehow related. And so he made an appointment with the doctor, who felt that it was gallbladder, that his gallbladder had developed stones or was the duct was plugged. Something was wrong there. This was the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. They were not able to get him in to do an ultrasound to really check to see if his gallbladder was bad or not that day. So they sent him home with an appointment for this past Monday. Thanksgiving Day was very rough on our family. We had planned to have a family over that lives in our apartment above our shop. And it was going to be a joyous time of us getting to know them and getting to know their culture. They're not Romanians, they're Ukrainians. And they're just in love with our father. Just a wonderful example of what Christian families should be like. And my parents just fell in love with this family and wanted our family to get to know them. So we had scheduled Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving morning, Dad was feeling very low and asked that we cancel it. It was very hard on our family and their family. And their family still brought us food so that we could still celebrate somewhat. Dad was not able to eat with us. He sat in his recliner and watched from there. He approached the table at one point and was able to share a little bit about his trip to Africa. We still don't know really all his stories there. We probably never will. And after a short time, he had to retire back to his chair. It was just too much. That was Thursday. By Saturday night, his temperature had grown tremendously, over 100 degrees. Was very uncomfortable, unable to rest, very restless. And they called the doctor, who immediately told them to take him to the emergency room. Checking into the emergency room, when asked for his cause for checking in, he wrote gallbladder/liver. The entire time that he has been told that, or that he was told that his gallbladder was the problem, he felt in his spirit that God was telling him that it was not his gallbladder, that it was his liver. He really felt this was true. And so when they checked him out, ran him through the CT scanner, spent hours in the hospital, they came to him and said, "We have great news. It's not your gallbladder. But we also have bad news. You have a large mass on your liver." At that point, it was about 3 to 5 inches long across the top of his right lobe, pressing against the back of his sternum, right close to the main artery that enters the liver. The expression on the doctor's face that night was very grim, and Mom and Dad knew that this was very, very bad. Their trip from Abbeville to Greenwood was very difficult. You begin talking about things that you never want to have to talk about. How are you going to live without me? Where are the finances? Who are you going to marry when I'm gone? These are tough, tough, tough conversations to have with your partner. I can only imagine, because I'm not there yet. When they arrived in Greenwood, Dr. Seeley came to see them about 4:30 in the morning. He had looked at the CT scan and felt that this mass was different than cancer. It just didn't look right. For one, it appeared watery. It looked like it was filled with something rather than a solid mass like cancer is. So he thought it might be a cyst, or it might be an amoebic abscess. Amoebas are small one-celled organisms that you ingest through drinking water or through vegetables that are not completely washed. And they generally have a hard crust formed around them. They enter your body through your mouth. They get into your stomach. They pass through your stomach unharmed and get into your intestines. There, the intestinal juices start breaking down that amoeba and take its shell off. And so it begins to reproduce. It starts to spread. It gets into the blood. It goes into the liver. And often will form its crust again because it is no longer being attacked. And will create an abscess that can become very large, very painful, can create all the side effects that my dad was having. So the doctor felt that there was a 99% certainty that this was either an amoebic abscess or a bacterial cyst. The only way they could find out was to do a biopsy, to run a very large needle through his ribs, through his lung, into the liver, into the abscess. A very, very, very painful surgery. Once they get in there, they try to draw the liquid out. When they started pulling, they couldn't pull anything. They just had massive suction. It was so painful that even though my dad had been sedated, he sat up and looked at what was going on. It was just so painful. Because nothing came out, they had to go in with a different type of needle, one that had a core that would cut a piece of the abscess out. And so he had to endure that needle going through again for the second time. When the doctor had come in and told him that this was some kind of a cyst or an abscess, amoeba, in his spirit, he felt God was telling him that this was not a cyst, that this was a tumor, and that it was cancerous. So when the doctors approached him later that night, he wasn't at all surprised that he had cancer. God had prepared him for this, just as he had prepared him for the ER diagnosis that it was his liver. So that night we had a small family meeting. The doctors came in and they tried to give us hope again, saying there are two types of liver cancer. One is aggressive, one is not. With the liver, most liver cancer is taken there from somewhere else, usually from the colon or the intestines or the spleen. Very few cases of liver cancer appear in the United States per year that start in the liver. About 30 per year, to be exact. Although it is probably the fifth largest cause of death in the rest of the world. Most often occurring in third world countries, South American countries, around the equator. So we had a little bit of hope that this was maybe a less aggressive type of cancer. I called my dad the next morning and he told me his story about his premonitions with needing to prepare for death, for this being something that was in his liver rather than his gallbladder, and then that this was a tumor of cancer. And then he told me, "Dwight, this is an aggressive form of cancer, and I'm not going to be here very long." God had prepared him again for the diagnosis that it was an aggressive form. Looking at it, the doctor started trying to figure out what we can do. The first option, which they thought was the only option, was to go in and cut out the mass portion of the liver that was affected by the tumor. With the liver, you can cut out about 80% of it and still live. With cancer, you can cut out the piece that is affected and expect to live maybe up to 7 years. But the only way you can really get rid of it is to get a liver transplant, which would cost about $500,000, and you've got about a 50% chance of survival. As they continued to look at the tumor, they determined that it had spread much more rapidly than they had thought it would. The type he has grows fingers. It starts as a mass and then grows fingers that spread throughout your liver, slowly shutting it down. His cancer is very aggressive, as we have seen in just 1 week, taking him from traveling across the globe to being so weak that he can hardly talk. It's difficult to watch. It's difficult to hear about. And yet he has been filled with such a peace that only God can give. Last night, we again met with the doctors, and with our insurance, we had basically one option for treatment for cancer, which was in Tijuana, Mexico, on the West Coast. We were asked to look at that as a possible treatment option, and so we did. It's a very good hospital. They have a very good success rate. The doctors there are great. They speak English. They have been working with Mennonites and Amish since the 1960s. And they are totally geared for our people to be able to go in and seek help. we, through this process, asked Dr. Seeley, my father's physician and a personal friend, to really tell us what his honest opinion was. We really rely on him to let us know what our options are, to give us good recommendations. We trust his judgment. He happened to know Dr. Contreras of the hospital there in Tijuana personally. They'd met, talked, got to know each other, and he recommended that we do try to get down there. We went home that night with a small glimmer of hope, knowing that it was going to be a long road ahead, that the trip to Mexico was not going to be easy. And we had to begin talking as a family, what happens next? Who goes? Who stays? What happens to the business? What happens to each of us? The things that we desire. I can't tell you how much I would love to have had my dad officiate over my wedding. How hard it is to know that he will never hold my children. And yet it is completely selfish of me to deny him his reward in heaven. And so I released him that night on my way home. We have to release our loved ones to go at times like this. You as his church family need to be able to release him to go. If he has offended you, you need to seek forgiveness. You don't have much time. This could be as short as 2 weeks or less. At most, we have maybe 3 months. It's very unlikely that he'll last that long. His burden for you is so great. His burden for the loss is even greater. It has been very hard on our family to stop people from coming to visit him, because he loves each and every one of you, and he has expressed that he does love you, and that he is so sorry that he cannot speak with you. But if there is something there that we need forgiveness in, he wants you to be able to do that. He wants to be able to release you from that. You don't need to go through life holding grudges, holding bitterness. You need to find forgiveness. You need to find forgiveness among yourselves. Tonight is an anointing for you. It's an anointing for this community to find that healing. If we don't, our community will die. It will become diseased, as we are already seeing that it is. This song that Tommy picked out, "Lord, give us a vision of lost souls, we pray." That's why we are here. We're not here to make a lot of money. We're not here to enjoy the simple pleasures of life. We are here to do God's will, to seek that all the nations be brought to their knees, that they be filled with the Spirit, and that when we get to our last day, we can leave with a sense of joy. On our ride home from the hospital, my dad began to weep that he had not reached more people for God. And in these last weeks, the little bit of strength that he has, he wants to pour into those who do not know Christ. That's why he is not accepting visitations, because it takes his strength away. It takes his ability away to be able to minister to the people that he really feels need his last effort. That's the way God is. God wants to pour his life into you. He wants to pour his life into this community. He wants to give us healing. He wants to give us peace. If you do not seek peace, it will destroy you. We have a long way to go yet. Today, Dad would eat just to have enough strength to make it until my brother Nathan could arrive. He wants to die tonight. He feels that he could die tonight. He's ready to die tonight. And yet, with the gifting that I have, I know he's not going to. He's got a long way to fall physically before he can do that. The pain today was almost unbearable for him. He was going through times where he felt great, and then times where he just felt like there was no way he was going to make it another hour. That's tough. It's going to get even tougher for him. He needs your prayers, but he does not want you to pray that he be healed. He wants you to pray for yourselves that you be healed as a community. That has been his entire goal, the 11 years that he's been here, that you be healed. He's happy to have given his life in this way. He's pleased to have met you, to have known you, to have been able to speak into your lives. He is sorry to have offended you, to have hurt you in some ways. He was not a perfect man. He was a man just like all of us. He struggled with the same temptations, the same fears, the same sins. So even though he is leaving in a way that he feels is God-honoring, he doesn't want to be glorified here on this earth. He does not want a lot of flowery words said about him, what he did, where he had been, how many people he had saved. He wants you to go from here and follow his example on the good points. seek God's direction in your life. Seek it with all your heart. Seek the Spirit. The Spirit will guide you. Tonight I asked him if he had anything to say that he wanted me to express to you. And he was in too much pain to really be able to express it. But I could see in his face the love that he has for all of you. Know that he loves you. Know that he has such great compassion for you. And that he wants to see you again. We can grieve for him, but he is going to a much better place. It doesn't make it any easier on us. It doesn't make it any fun. Grieving is for us. Grieving is to mourn the loss of somebody. It's a piece of us that will never return. No one will ever be quite like him. So that's why we mourn. The Bible says that those who mourn will be comforted. So don't feel like you are wrong in mourning. I would like to just pray a special prayer on you as a congregation, as a community, as a church. And then I'd like to open it up for questions if you have any. And then I'd like to hear from you what your struggles are. Seek healing. Tonight is the night for it. Let's pray. Father, we ask this night that you would send your Spirit to rest upon these people. Father, I pray that you would move in their hearts, that you would create such a stir that they would desire to follow you with all that they are. Young and old, Lord, we can serve you. We seek to follow you, Lord, with all that we are. We seek to follow you as a church. We seek to follow you as a community. We seek to follow you as a body, Lord. We seek to follow you as individuals. Father, move in this place. Fill us with your peace. Restore your love in these people, Lord, for one another. And for the greater community that is still out there that is unreached. Lord, I pray that you would instill such a vision in this church that it would grow beyond what any of us can imagine. Give us a vision, Lord, that we might reach the unreached. Father, I pray that you would prepare missionaries in this place that would go into the greater world and preach the gospel for you. Father, I pray that we would train our children in such a way that they would seek after you with all their hearts. That they would follow after you as you would desire them to. Grant us peace, Lord. May we find that in you. May we find that forgiveness from each other, and may we find the love that we so desire. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your love. Anoint us with your Holy Spirit that we would know what to say to those who we come in contact with, to those we do not know, and to those whom you lead us to. Surround us with your hands of protection, Lord, as we light up this dark place. Thank you, Lord, for the way you're going to move in this church tonight, in this church this month, and in this church this year. Father, I pray that a vision would be caught in this place that would not die, but that would continue until your return. May this be a bright and shiny spot in this great nation, Lord. May others look to this place and say, God is there. May they see it and seek it and long for it, Lord. And may you be glorified in all that is done. This is our prayer tonight, Lord, and we are so excited to be a part of it and to be anticipating what you have. Father, we know that this will not come without trials, without tribulations, without hard struggles, Lord. There will be lots of death, Father, and we pray that you would help us to endure it, to stay true until your return. Fill us, Lord. Fill us, we pray. For it is in the name of Jesus that we come to you, Lord. Amen. We have been facing for a little while here, that we have been able to work through, that we have been able to give to God. That is the only reason I can stand before you tonight without crying my heart out. Believe me, my heart breaks tonight. I weep. As our family goes through this, we are going to try to remain strong for my father. When it is over, the harsh reality of his passing will hit us like a ton of bricks, I am sure. At that time is when we are going to be in most need of you to come around us, to comfort us, to fill us with those words of wisdom and that love. I want to open the time up to you. The question is, why aren't we really going to Mexico? Why did we let that option fall by the wayside? A number of issues were taking place there. My dad has requested that we not do anything that would prolong death. He doesn't want chemotherapy if it is only going to extend his life by a couple days, by a couple weeks, maybe a couple months. If there's no real life there, why do it? He has seen people hurt through that procedure, and he does not want it. So that's one issue that we are dealing with. Another one, in taking him from Greenwood to my parents' house, was about all he could bear with me driving the long route in order to avoid the bumpy shortcut that we would normally take, driving extra slow to avoid those potholes. He could hardly make it. And we arrived home and he was so weak. And we just looked at that and said, there is no way he's going to survive a 4.5-hour flight across the country. So that was another kind of feeling. The other one was that my dad just did not want to go. His heart is here with you. If going out there and receiving 2 weeks of treatment for an extra 2 weeks of life, he doesn't want that. That means he's lost 2 great weeks being with people that he can minister to. He does not want to lose that. He does not want to steal from you the opportunity to forgive him where he has failed you, to seek reconciliation. He wants to be here. Seeing you as an upright man of God. And he wants you to go forward and continue to use that. He wants you to be satisfied with your life. You can pray for him that he will remain faithful to the end. It is a deep concern for him. Last night, Satan attacked him very severely. And he just asked us to come around him and rebuke this evil force that had come upon him. And we did so, and it left. And then just this overwhelming feeling of peace, and the Spirit just fell upon him. And he began to ache for people that he had poured his life into who were never able to give up their life. They were not able to turn their lives over to Christ. And name after name began to come out. And as they did, he asked that we would pray for each one individually. And so we would pray until he would feel a peace about that person. He would close his eyes and he'd just groan from the pain, and then he'd come up with another name that he would want us to pray for. And so we would do that one. At one point, he had a brother that he just so ached for that he wanted us to bring him to his bedside. This was 1 o'clock in the morning. And yet he felt such a strong pull from the Holy Spirit to do this that we tried calling the brother. Phone didn't answer. He said, try it again. Maybe it has stirred him. Try it again. So we would try it again with no answer. Finally he said, go get him. So I went to the brother's house and I got him out of bed and took him to my dad. And they just had an amazing time of bonding, of forgiving, seeking healing from the gentleman's past hurts, seeking forgiveness from what his parents had done to him as a child. And it was just such a refreshing time to see him just pour out every ounce of strength that he had left that night into this brother, because he loved him. That brother left this morning for Florida to participate in the crusade. We didn't know he was leaving. He left this morning real early before any of us had woken up. That's the Spirit of God moving. If he wouldn't have asked him to come that night, that healing would not have taken place. That brother would have to go through life with that pain. And my dad just did not want that to happen. Is there anything that you can do to help us as a family at this point? Right now, we are inundated with telephone calls, one right after another. And it's a very heavy burden on us. My dad knows people across the world, and they are calling from across the world. We know that you want to say goodbye, that you feel that pain. But at this point, we ask that you give us a little bit of breathing room. If you want to find out information, we have a church secretary that we are passing that information along to. I believe that's you, right, Mary? And so we ask that if you need information, that you call Mary. If you need to make an appointment with my dad, please call Mary. We don't feel Dad is going to die tomorrow. He may not die the next day, but it's coming soon. There's going to be peaks and valleys in his sickness, and we want him to be able to use those peaks to minister to you. He's not going to be able to get to all of you, though he would really like to do that. Right now, we are working through trying to get his pain under control to even out those peaks and those valleys so that he is able to spend more quality time here at the end of his life, and that he might be able to use the time that he does have to do the work that he feels he still needs to do. So I believe, have we started a waiting list? Or a list? No? I know as a family we've kind of talked about maybe having some kind of a list that one, we see that he is wanting to talk to people, that we can look at that list and give you a call and allow you to come say goodbye. Mary, if you could, would you mind keeping track of that for us? I'd appreciate that. Yeah. Meals are something that we don't think about. I started answering phone calls this morning at 7 o'clock. And by noon, I had answered so many that I thought it was had to be 4 o'clock. Somewhere in there, I snacked on a granola bar between phone calls. And somewhere else, I grabbed another little piece of juicy fruit, something or another. And tonight, Mary brought us a lovely meal. We really were blessed by that. We don't need all of our meals taken care of. It is helpful. And we ask that when you do come to our house, that you come to the basement. Dad's senses are heightened at this point, whispering in the next room, ice crunching, doors squeaking, bright lights, sour smells really, really bother him. So we ask that if you do come, that you come to the basement and that you come to this single door next to the garage door. It's the one that is under the kitchen and probably the furthest away from him. When we make phone calls, we go to the basement because he can't hear us. When we need to talk loudly, we go to the basement because he can't hear us. So we ask that if you do need to come, that you come there. We are going to need so much support after Dad passes. We're going to need a lot of support in coordinating his funeral. It's not going to be something that we can house in this building. He wants it to be in a place where the music will ring out. He wants it to be a joyous time where we are basically singing. That's his wish.
I just want to say a few things.